This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Monday, as we always do. Every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Hope you had a great Father's Day weekend. Gang's all here ready to go. Seating the poll question from the last hour, and what are we going to go with in the final hour of this program?
You know what? I'm glad that you just mentioned Father's Day, Dan, because we're going to go with Todd's snarky poll question for the final hour about Father's Day. But last hour, we asked, the acquisition of Bradley Beal by the Suns means Phoenix should be favored to win it all next season. They will improve slightly but not go to the finals. Right. Too many cooks. Big three will actually take a step back. This is also a Todd Fritz special.
Yeah.
Right now, they about 51% of the audience are saying they'll improve slightly, but probably not going to the finals.
Yeah, I don't think they will. And I want to see what happens with DeAndre Ayton. If Frank Vogel wants to keep him, I he's on record as saying he wants to. I mean, if it would be interesting if you said, I got to get this guy DeAndre Ayton out of here. But you got to be able to have a rim protector, it feels like, with Frank Vogel. He had one in Indiana, had one with the Lakers. And you're going to want one. You got to be able to play defense, but you got guys who can score. I just don't know if the three-headed monster works anymore. Yes, Marvin.
I've seen a lot of zone defense in the future.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Paulie.
It's like when you watch DeAndre Ayton. I remember his rookie year, you're like, oh, God, this guy's good low post guy. He's got some moves. He's versatile. He's a nice rebounder.
Yeah.
He's okay on defense.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this will clearly improve as the years go along. He seems like the same exact player he was week one.
It feels like he's less than what he once was, because at least I thought that he was building on something. But he's going to be compared to Luka and Trae Young, certainly Luka, the rest of his career. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, he had a good year, not as good as Luka. Had a good year, not as good as Trae Young. But he's a good player, or the potential to be a good player. Yeah, Marv.
Was he a territorial draft pick?
It felt like that. Yeah, the owner, Robert Sarver, wanted the University of Arizona guy. And took him over Luka and Trae Young. Certainly over Luka, but that was the big news. Draft is coming up this Thursday with Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson and Brandon Miller. Those are the top three players expected to be selected. All right, what's the poll question? We're going to go with Todd's in the final hour there, Seton.
Yeah, we just put one up about how was your Father's Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's just get a read.
Yeah.
A little lay of the land. See how people are feeling.
Anybody have a bad one that they want to talk about? I don't want to talk about, people in love and everybody had a great day. I want, we'd like to hear about, was there any problems, any issues, Father's Day? Okay.
Too nervous to say it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. No. Yeah. But they always hear it like third hand when I say something on the air. My kids will be like, I heard you brought me up. And I go, yeah, I did. You didn't say anything nice. Yeah, I knew. Nobody wants to hear nice things about your kids. You're around parents and they give you, it's in the 99th percentile. I'm like, okay. And my kid's in the 72nd percentile.
Yeah, I think you're so great.
Yeah. Yes, Marv.
Are they expecting you to be afraid? Like, oh, no, I didn't say that about you.
Look, oh, no. They know better.
My wife is always, Marvin, why do you why do you use that voice with me? And people DM me, like, oh, does your wife get mad? I mean, even if she does, she'll be all right.
Yeah.
Marvin, I just can't believe you're doing it.
And Marvin's wife doesn't sound like that. But
not even close.
But Marvin says his wife sounds like that.
One of the sisters on The Simpsons. Like, yeah. One of Marge's sisters.
Yeah.
It's more like Robin Williams' brother and Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, any closer and you'd be mom.
There's a Harvey Fierstein. There's a Liam Neeson in there. Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember your wife sounding like that.
Marvin, go take out the trash. You have a certain set of skills.
Take it out now or die. We were on this story late last hour. We had a caller, Brad from North Carolina, that a shark took a bite out of a high-stakes fishing competition. The Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament in North Carolina ended in controversy. Somebody landed a 619-pound marlin Saturday, and that would have won the team $3 million in prize money. It was disallowed because it appeared to be bitten by sharks, and therefore it was disqualified. Okay. So the fish was mutilated before it was landed or boated, therefore it was disqualified. Okay. It would have weighed even more if the sharks didn't get to it. So why did they lose $3 million, Paulie?
It's unclear. The sensation is the boat that caught it. The shark's 619 pounds, the marlin. The announcer said over the loudspeaker, they were celebrating when they got the weigh in. It appears that the fish had been bitten by a shark. The International Game Fish Association rulebook, Dan, says mutilation of the fish prior to landing or boating the catch caused by sharks, fish, mammals, or propellers that remove or penetrate the flesh causes a disqualification. When you look at the fish, it seems pretty intact. It's got some rough spots down low, but the fish is not mutilated. It's not like unrecognizable. The crew of the Sensation would have won $2.77 million for coming in first place and another $739,500 for the catch of the year that is more than 500 pounds, it was reported.
Yeah, it took them 6 hours to land this thing.
They said this is consistent with their rulings in the past where if a mutilated fish is caught, they DQ it. It doesn't look mutilated.
But I don't. Was it easier to catch? I don't understand this. Help me understand.
There's no reasoning behind the rule that I can find.
Do we have to look at the fish all over? And what if he's got bite marks, but nothing has been, no flesh has been taken?
What if he's got internal damage?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's got
mental issues.
Internal organs that are, what the hell?
Yeah. And if you look at the fish hanging there and they're celebrating, there is some, rough spots, but no one seems bothered by it. But the announcer, the narc, goes, ooh, it's been bitten by a shark. And then all of a sudden the officials came in and had a meeting right there on the dock.
Okay.
They got DQ'd, so they didn't finish second, Dan. They went from $3 million to zero, $3.5 million.
NASCAR's back on NBC, second half of the season, heats up in Nashville, Sunday, June 25th, in primetime on NBC. I would imagine that the boat, the Sensation crew, is appealing this.
Absolutely. We're going to keep an eye on that. And the boat that finished second, Sushi, was bumped up to first. It's kind of like Reggie Bush losing the Heisman type thing.
It's got to stink if you're a Marlin and you're bad enough you already got caught, right? And then you're getting reeled in, and on your way in you get bit by a shark too. That just feels like you're kicking somebody on their way down.
And you don't even really have a place in history. No one's going to mount you.
You're disqualified.
What do they do with the Marlin?
Want to look into that?
Well, did they let him back in the water?
You'd think that Marlin would be celebrated and put up on a wall somewhere, but now it's a badge of failure. Entire Marlin.
It's taboo.
Yeah.
It's taboo.
Yeah. Craig in Florida leads us off this hour. Best and worst of the weekend. Chris Mannix will analyze the trade between the Wizards and the Suns. Hey, Craig. Craig? We lost Craig. Kelly in Pittsburgh. Hi, Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
I absolutely have a worst of the weekend. I don't really have a best, but the worst has to be Charlie Culbertson, the Atlanta Braves player that was demoted to the minor leagues prior to his dad throwing out the first pitch.
I know.
I mean, how in the world do you do something so low to somebody? And the funny thing is, not funny, ha-ha, his dad also spent years in the major leagues and never made it to the major leagues, spent the entire time in the minors. So he finally gets his spotlight on a major league field, and they take his son and throw him to the Wolves.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelly. Rick in South Carolina. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I don't agree with the rule, but the fishing rule is because if it's washed under the boat while you're catching it, trying to land it, and it's hit by the prop, like Paulie said, basically it can kill the fish, and then you didn't land it live. So they're saying this basically is a rule if you were to drive up on a floating dead carcass of a 700-pound marlin and you threw it in the boat and you're like, hey, check it out. We caught this for $3 million.
Yeah, but Rick, they fought for 6 hours to bring this fish in.
I totally agree with you. The hardest part is once it gets to the side of the boat, say it's alive, and you grab that leader, I'm totally in agreement with you.
Okay.
But that's what the rule is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Rick.
But maybe if it hadn't gotten bit by a shark, then it would have been 7.5 hours.
I guess.
What if they caught the shark as well and then brought
it? It kind of makes sense to me, the rule, now that they put it that way.
But you fought for six hours.
Right, but the idea that a dead fish is easier to bring in than a living one, I think makes sense.
Okay. These fishing competitions, you know, there's a lot of drama. Like, when you know, we don't talk about steroids or performance-enhancing drugs in sports anymore. It has to do with, like, these fishing controversies.
We got weights! That dude, I never heard anyone more angry than when he
yelled, my God.
Get out of here!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This dude is mad.
Yeah, we covered that story. Yes, we did. Seth in New Orleans. Hi, Seth. What's on your mind today?
Hey, bud. What's going on? Happy belated Father's Day. I was just wondering if, like, in the parades, if they were drinking tailgate moonshine, would you feel a little better about it or feel more discomfort about it?
No, if it was in moderation, Seth, these guys, you know, the Nuggets and, you know, the Golden Knights, they treated it like they'd never tasted beer before. But it's any winning team. They're just the latest. It's the era that we're in where it's performance drinking. That's it. And if they were drinking tailgate moonshine and they acted like that, I'd say put the bottle down. It's that good. Put it down. By the way, tailgate moonshine, watermelon, should be coming out in July, early July. We'll let you know. And still working on the trip to Dublin. We're trying to get over there for the Notre Dame Navy game and do our show over there for a couple of days. Once we get official sign off one way or another, we'll let you know if we are going to invade Dublin, Ireland and bring our show over there. How many people have been to Dublin?
Yep.
Seton, Paulie. Okay. So no Fritzy, no Marvin. I've been there a few times.
It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Ireland's the best.
It's there's some good people. They take care of you. They know what it's like for tourism. Yes, Marv.
What's the best thing to eat there?
Paulie?
I enjoyed the seafood. I mean, there's a lot of traditional Irish stuff that you should partake, but I don't think, you know, it's surrounded by the ocean. But, yeah, the seafood was fantastic in Ireland.
What about you, Seton?
I think Ireland gets a knock for having bad food, but Dublin has very good restaurants. We went to this place called Mr. Fox, I want to say it was called. That was really good. Another place called the Winding Stair. Mm. They're like Michelin star caliber restaurants.
Mm.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Shepherd's pie. Can't go wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, there's some traditional blood pudding. Could have that at breakfast.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't tell you what it is and then you just try it. Yes, Paul?
I did have a food truck at Dublin at about 2 a.m. after a full day and night of drinking. And I got a hamburger and it was kind of grayish colored and it didn't work out so well for anyone involved.
Mm. Okay.
Back to you.
All right. Yes, Todd.
Got to ask for it medium gray. That's probably where you went wrong. You know, for next time.
50 shades of gray.
Yeah.
Okay. Blue. All right. Yeah. All right. Maybe.
There was the restaurant Johnny Rockets, the burger chain that's all around America. You've never heard of Johnny Rockets?
Yeah.
They have Eddie Rockets there. We were walking by late night, and there was an Eddie Rockets. It's exactly like Johnny Rockets, but it's like his. It's like Gallagher with his brother. It's like a, it's called Eddie Rockets. We didn't go in.
Jimmy in Chicago. Hi, Jimmy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Hey, best of the weekend. I watched Legacy, the true story of the L.A. Lakers on Hulu. Really well done, especially with Jeannie Buss being the central figure, exploring that relationship with your dad.
Yeah.
There's a couple of nuggets that I took from it, though, that I thought were interesting. One was Jerry West saying, I have not, talking about his battling the Celtics in the finals. And he said, I have not been to Boston since I flew there back as a player. Kareem saying that playing the game is essentially spontaneous. And the one that hit me the most, Brian Shaw speaking on the Shaq-Kobe feud. This is preseason 03. And he said, at the time, it felt like it could have been World War III, describing an upcoming practice where Shaq was, said he was going to beat Kobe's you-know-what, after Kobe said Shaq needed to not come into training camp fat and out of shape.
Yeah, there was a lot of drama. And I've always insisted that I remember those Lakers for what they didn't do, not what they did, because I thought that that was, you know, a true dynasty where they could have won six in a row. It was just, and, you know, and Shaq has talked about this extensively, of your ego gets in the way. You know, the greater good, what, like everybody's going to benefit if we win, instead of, hey, it's got to be my team. No, it's got to be my team. And instead of saying, let's collaborate and let's make this a great team, let's make this our team, the city's team. And egos get in the way. It's gotten in the way. That's when you have a team or teams that win and win consistently, and you don't have that ego. You know, the Bulls were able to stay together because everybody knew what their place was. The Celtics with Bird and McHale and Magic and DJ and Ainge, you know, ego. They were able to, because they knew it was Larry's team. You know, Kareem with Magic, it became Magic's team, and everybody understood that. But to have that, you know, Bill Russell and the Celtics, it was Bob Cousy's team, and then all of a sudden everybody realized, you're going to win, it's because of Bill Russell, and it became Bill Russell's team. And he was selfless, therefore everybody else kind of fell in line. You have to have that. You have to have a pecking order, but everybody understands there's a greater good. Yeah, Marv.
Is there any other team or dynasty where you're like, man, they won a lot, but they could have won more? Is there anybody else besides the Shaq and Kobe Lakers?
Well, the Braves, the Atlanta Braves won one title, but I don't think that that was ego, because you were led by those pitchers. They had a great team. They just were unlucky. You know, they should have won probably three or four World Series titles. Yeah, Paul.
I wonder if Shaq ever gets bothered by this narrative. There's a lot of, you know, there's always videos being posted and different things about, and it's Kobe Bryant clips from back in the day where he calls out Shaq for his health and his fitness stuff. You know, Shaq was averaging like 31 and 15 in those playoffs. Now, yeah, when they won, and then when the next year, when he's 2002, 2003, Shaq averaged 27, 15, 4, and 4. Those are pretty good numbers. Now you're saying, well, it could have been better. It could have been, he was there for the playoffs.
No, he could have been better in making it a collaborative effort, not his play.
Okay.
I mean, Shaq could have been a better player making his free throws, but he was a dominating force. But the big man is never going to get enough credit. You're going to get blame. You just will. And Kobe was out to prove that he could win without Shaq. And then you get Pau Gasol, and Kobe had his running mate there. He wanted to make sure everybody knew, I can win without Shaq. And then Shaq wanted to prove that he could win without Kobe. And he was, you know, in Miami with D Wade. Yes, Marv.
Bradley Beal might be this generation's Pau Gasol. Like, oh, he's really good, but nobody knows him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Mannix's going to join us and get his thoughts on Bradley Beal trade from the Phoenix perspective, as well as the Wizards. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. You've heard CEO Howard Mackler of Innovation Refunds and GetRefunds.com explain how they've helped so many small businesses with their ERC tax refunds. In fact, Innovation Refunds has already completed over 17,000 returns for a lot of businesses. And we're talking businesses like yours, construction or retail or restaurants or bars or hotels. And there are other companies saying they specialize in this refund, the ERC tax refund. But not every company is the same. Innovation Refunds has hundreds of five-star Trustpilot and Google reviews, so they're certified with the Better Business Bureau. Trust your business with the experts at Innovation Refunds. You go to GetRefunds.com to get the process started. And you could be on your way to receiving money for your business. No upfront charge. They don't get paid unless you get paid. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $5 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC. Go to GetRefunds.com or download the app from the App Store today. That's GetRefunds.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth, with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
We'll get to more phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. Chris Mannix covers the NBA. He's a senior reporter, writer for Sports Illustrated. And let me get your thoughts on the Bradley Beal trade from Phoenix's perspective.
On the surface, you get a player the caliber of Bradley Beal by giving up as little as they did, you would have to declare this a win. Bradley Beal, even though he's only played what, 90 games over the last 2 years, when he's right, is still a 25-ish point per game score. So you get that from Phoenix's perspective. But when you start really looking at the fit, there are some red flags there. Phoenix now has a team that is led by three guys that like the mid-range jump shot. You look at the number of mid-range jump shots, Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant shoot, and it's a lot. They're effective scorers, but they do shoot a lot of mid-range jump shots. And you start to wonder if Beal and Devin Booker are somewhat repetitive, if they overlap with their skill set. So you're not exactly sure how they fit. And you also look at this deal, and you are now, if you're Phoenix, you're now all in with this group. Like, there's nobody. I mean, Devin Booker, you could trade down the line because he's young enough and people want him. But you're not going to be able to trade Bradley Beal, whose no trade clause comes with him to Phoenix. Kevin Durant certainly could still be movable, but not for anywhere near the yield that they gave up to get him. This is your team for at least the next 3 or 4 years, and you're all in. There's almost no way you can substantially improve this group because you don't have draft picks and you don't have any kind of cap flexibility. That flexibility is going to go down in the years to come because the NBA, as you know, is making it a lot harder for teams to just free spend their way to success. So it's a deal that, you know, on paper, you'd argue makes the Suns better, but I don't look at them as being better than Denver right now, and that for the next couple of years is going to be the bar in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I was curious about this, that you just added another scorer. They still have DeAndre Ayton. They don't have depth, and you have a lot of guys who do the same thing. They don't have defenders there, and you're facing a team, and I use, I capitalize team with Denver. That's a better all-around team. I don't know where Phoenix fits in now. If we, Golden State, are they better than Golden State? Are they better than the Lakers? Are they better than Memphis? I'm not quite sure. Did they improve their team? It looks different. It looks different. It looks sexy, but I don't know. I don't know if they improved that much.
I think they improved in part because it was more likely than not that Chris Paul wasn't going to be on the team anyway at the start of next season. Landry Shamet is a decent rotation player, but you give up a seventh or eighth man to get a guy like Bradley Beal. They didn't have to include a first-round pick, largely because they don't have first-round picks. So a collection of seconds is not a steep price to pay for Bradley Beal. But look, I said I don't think they're better than Denver. You can make the argument that if the Warriors bring that band back, they're lesser than the Warriors. They're lesser than the Sacramento Kings right now, who I think will take a step forward next year. And look, when you're assessing Phoenix, we're doing it right now, assuming everything goes right health-wise, that these guys will be on the floor for 60, 65 games together. It's just as likely that doesn't happen. I mean, Beal's got his own history of injuries over the last 4 years, has not played more than 60 games in any of those seasons. Kevin Durant, we know his injury history. Devin Booker had an injury last year that kept him out of the lineup for a chunk of time. So you're committing $100+ million to these three guys who may or may not be able to play the entirety of a season. Now, you mentioned DeAndre Ayton. That's the guy teams are watching over the next few days. I don't think that Phoenix can get equal value back in return for DeAndre Ayton, but they might be able to flip him for a couple of role players, you know, the kind of guys that would flesh out the roster and give them a little bit more depth, which they're sorely lacking at the moment. It would be tough. Like, Frank Vogel has told me, like, he wants to coach DeAndre Ayton. If you look at Frank Vogel's teams that have had the most success, they have been anchored by a defensive-minded big, you know, whether that's Roy Hibbert in Indiana, Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard during the championship season in Los Angeles. You know, Frank has a defensive strategy that kind of requires a player like DeAndre Ayton. But if the Suns can find a deal that would net them two or three valuable role players, that's a deal I think they'd strongly consider.
Now, Washington side of this, it just feels like there's certain teams that are feeder teams to make other teams better. Washington, I think, went down that road with Bradley Beal, and they were basically stuck. Nobody cares about that franchise. No, there's no relevancy with them. You know, it's like Charlotte or Orlando, where it's like, hey, we got a good player, and we're going to let him go. So what's the future of the Washington Wizards?
I can't think of a more catastrophic finish to an era for a quote-unquote star player than Bradley Beal. I mean, they extended him, or they gave him a new contract, when everyone knew this was going to happen. Like, the idea that Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, and Kristaps Porzingis was going to be able to contend for anything was just insane. I mean, everybody knew it at the time, but the Wizards, for some reason, were just so hell-bent on becoming a playoff team, just a playoff team, that they're willing to give Bradley Beal $250 million and a no-trade clause to get him to stick around. And then they go out and swing a deal. And look, Michael Winger, the new top executive there, he knew what the score was. He knew they had to move on from Bradley Beal. And we all knew, Dan, that the price for Bradley Beal was going to be pretty low, you know, for all the reasons we mentioned, the contract, the no trade clause, the fact that he has not looked like the same player over the last couple of seasons that he was in that 2021 year where he averaged 30 plus points per game. All that said, they gave him away. Like, they gave him away.
Yeah.
You know, what they got out of this deal was getting off that contract. And that made me wonder, like, was it absolutely necessary to deal Bradley Beal right now? Like, they didn't get a first-round pick back, so it's not like the draft was, you know, this deadline that they had for him. To me, I thought maybe it would have been better to kind of play this thing out over the next couple of months and maybe even play this thing out into next season to see if the market opens up a little bit more and to see if Bradley Beal, because of a desire to get out of Washington, would have expanded his list of teams that he'd be willing to go to. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, the Wizards have been dealing like with basically four teams, maybe five, who Bradley Beal would have considered waiving his no trade clause. You go into next season and maybe Brad looking around going, look, I want to win something. This team might give me an opportunity. Let's add that team to the list. Or let's add that team to the list. Because right now, the only thing Washington got for Bradley Beal, really, tangibly, was the flexibility that comes with getting off the final 4 years of that contract.
And then Chris Paul, it's probably, I don't think he's buying in Washington, D.C. I guess he doesn't even get to Washington, D.C.
Well, yes. There's going to be a lot of pressure. Look, the reason this deal is not official is because right now Washington and Phoenix are looking for that third team to facilitate Chris Paul. They're seeing if it's out there. I don't know that it is. It's complicated because of Chris Paul's salary. There are certainly teams that want him. Do they want him at the $30-ish million that he'd be due to be paid next year? I don't know if there's an answer to that question, but that's why this deal is still in kind of the stages where it's not officially done yet. If they can't find a third team and this becomes a two-team deal, there will be pressure on the Wizards to just waive Chris Paul. I think that would be a mistake because if they waive Chris Paul, what do they gain from that? Like saving a few extra bucks because you don't have to give him the full amount of his contract? Does that really matter to Ted Leonsis at this stage? Chris Paul will want the freedom to choose a contender to go to this summer. I don't blame him for that. But if I'm Washington, why not bring him to training camp? Why not, you know, bring him into the start of next season for the exact same reasons I said the Wizards should have considered bringing Bradley Beal back? What do you have to lose? Like, you bring him in, maybe he comes in phenomenal shape, maybe helps you win a few games in the first 6 weeks of the season, and then maybe a team's out there that goes, wow, Chris Paul can still play. Let's give you a protected first-round pick for him and a couple of expiring contracts to get you there. I just don't see the upside for Washington in just letting Chris Paul go. I mean, I understand that teams like to do this to show they're player-friendly, to show that we'll work with you in situations like this, but how often does that benefit teams in the long term? I mean, I think Washington's got to be looking out for Washington in this situation. And if they think that bringing Chris Paul to camp might be able to get them an asset in December or January, they should do it.
Talking to Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer. I'll leave you with this. What are the chances Victor Wembanyama isn't great?
I mean, 0.0001, I would say. It, you know, I've got a chance to watch a lot of his games this year on the NBA app. And by the way, full credit to Victor Wembanyama. In a basketball prospect landscape where guys play as few games as possible before they go into the NBA draft, Victor Wembanyama is out there like last week, you know, competing at the highest level in his league. There's nothing he can't do, Dan. He's not a high percentage 3-point shooter just yet, but I mean, he's a teenager who already shoots high 20s from three and, you know, is going to develop that part of his game. And it's going to grow significantly over the next couple of years. I just think within 2 or 3 years, we're going to be looking at a highly effective two-way player. And within 3 to 5 years, we might be looking at the most dominant player in the NBA. I just think his skill set is that diverse and his ability to grow, like the parts of his game that can still develop. I think he's just going to be really special.
Thank you, Chris.
You got it, Dan.
That's Chris Mannix, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. By the way, make sure you sign up. Go to danpatrick.com, Marvin's Cookout Playlist, courtesy of My Plan from Verizon, where you get to pick what you want, when you want it on your phone plan. We thought, well, you can pick the Cookout Playlist for Friday. You got soft rock, yacht rock, hard rock, kid rock. Any other rocks, Marv?
Southern rock.
Southern rock.
Besides Lynyrd Skynyrd, what constitutes Southern rock?
The Allman Brothers. Allman Brothers probably created Southern rock. Dwayne and Greg Allman probably created that. Yeah, there are quite a few bands.
Tucker Band.
Yeah. Charlie Daniels Band. Devil Went Down to Georgia.
And then Kid Rock. I'm going to play Pitcher 5 times. That's a Kid Rock song with Sheryl Crow.
Oh, okay.
I can't name you any other Kid Rock songs.
Kid Rocking up and down your block.
Probably language-wise, we couldn't play that, Marv. Could we?
Maybe.
No.
Okay.
No, we shouldn't. I saw this report from Mark Stein, NBA reporter. He says that not only have the Lakers not pieced together how Kyrie Irving would fit or how to make the cap space work for the rest of the roster, they, quote, do not plan to pursue Kyrie Irving in free agency at all. Okay. They shouldn't, but I'm trying to figure out who. I guess the Suns were supposed to be interested in Kyrie. I mean, who knows nowadays? It's like, this team's interested, okay.
Wizards question?
Yeah, exactly. Miami? Yes, Paul.
I do have a Victor Wembanyama. How do you pronounce it? Wembanyama?
It's still Wembanyama.
Wembanyama?
Wembanyama.
Oh, the N is silent.
Wembanyama.
Okay. Victor is player comp. Want to play the Victor player comp game? I'm on a popular NBA draft website for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a player comp that I haven't heard too many times before.
Chet Holmgren.
No. Old player comp.
Yes, Mark.
Oh, that's easy. Stromile Swift.
Wow.
Not at all.
Wow.
Older. It does say that he is really unique, and there aren't many player comps to even start with.
George Gervin.
Ralph Sampson. So much outside-to-in player, 7'4". Well, see, I think they have a point, though. If Ralph Sampson didn't get injured, the skill set is similar. A 7'4 guy who starts outside, then goes inside, can block shots, can shoot deep.
Yeah.
Ralph Sampson was a good shooter, actually one of the better 3-point shooters on his team before he got injured.
Well, he didn't take too many.
No, not a lot, but percentage-wise. Nobody took a lot back then.
Yeah. Sean Bradley was like that, too. He was 7'6", who could play outside, actually handled the ball, had good touch, blocked shots. The expectations for Victor Wembanyama are going to be through the roof. And I think you got to caution. Well, I should say this to the people who are hyping him. If Kobe doesn't come in and, you know, turn the league on its ear, and Kevin Garnett and some of these other younger players, you know, I would compare him to Kevin Garnett. Let him. Now, he's playing against better competition because Garnett came out of high school, but Wembanyama's been playing against pros. But I just think getting into the league, understanding the league, and, you know, he's got to use his body to his advantage, not have his body used to a disadvantage, because guys are going to, you know, rough him up a little bit here. But he's coming in very young. Now, I know Luka came in, and I thought there's going to be a transition period. He had been playing against pros, and he looked like he had been playing against pros. He was ready for the contact, but Luka's a thick guy. Now, he had the body to play in the NBA right away. Victor Wembanyama doesn't. But you're going to go to the Spurs, expectation level. You know, he's in a smaller market. You might get that gradual ascent into being a playoff-caliber team or maybe an all-star player himself. I'm tempering my expectations. Yes, Mark.
Opening night, Spurs at Lakers. The biggest hype player since?
LeBron James.
That's right.
Is that what you're calling? It'll be opening night? Or do they wait until Christmas? Yeah. But isn't the NFL on Christmas this year and therefore the NBA, or was that this past year? I don't know.
Oh, I got to check it out.
Yeah. When is Christmas this year?
25th.
It's still? Thank you, Paulie. What day of the week is Christmas? Yeah. Smarty pants.
It's a Monday. Christmas Day is a Monday this year.
Okay. And so you'll have Monday Night Football. All right, let me take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. There's three football games on Christmas Day. Raiders, Chiefs, Giants, Eagles, Ravens, 49ers. Now, that used to be the NBA's day where they would have marquee matchups. Do you open up Victor Wembanyama's career, Spurs Lakers opening night, or do you wait until Christmas Day for Victor Wembanyama against LeBron? What would you do? Programming. Would you wait until December 25th, or would you have it opening night? Todd?
Opening night. Left is an injury, and if he's skinny and needs to put some muscle on, I want to make sure I get that first game out of the way.
Well, I don't know if 6 weeks he's going to all of a sudden be built like Rick Mahorn. Just saying. He's probably going to
wait. Things can happen over the course of the first couple of months of the season. Let's get it going opening night.
Seton, what would you do? Opening night or Christmas Day, Victor Wembanyama against LeBron?
Man, that's a tough choice.
Or Victor Wembanyama versus the Joker.
Isn't the NFL playing on Christmas
Day?
Yes. Yeah, that's BS.
Yeah.
I'll go Christmas.
Right. Marvin, what would you do?
Start the season off with a bang.
Okay.
I want to let the kid get the nerves out.
Yeah,
I'm settling a little bit.
Paulie?
I'd ease Vic in. You know, Popovich. Knowing Popovich, I bet you he doesn't start in his first game. I would bet on it.
Yeah. He's already going to have games restriction there. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Dan in Portland. Hey, Dan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Longtime listener. 6'4", 215, retired bod.
Okay.
Yeah, my best, I caught the 30 for 30 about Bill Walton over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, the segments of the championship in Portland and what fun memories that brings back. And then his first year in Boston, he and Larry Bird together were so great. Their passing skills, I mean, just fun to watch. The worst would be seeing the x-rays of his feet now. Oh, my goodness. He has screws in both of his feet, and it's just painful to see him walk.
Yeah, I had somebody who said, you know, I felt bad at the end of the Bill Walton documentary. And I said, don't feel bad for Bill. Because of where he was, he thought about committing suicide. He was in so much pain. I said, Bill survived. It's a success story. When he was playing, when he was healthy, there were very few players in the history of the game who understood the game and played the game as well as Bill did at both ends of the floor. Every facet. But, you know, it was a brief window there. It was like 3 or 4 years where he was really at a peak. And Larry Bird loved the way Bill Walton played. And, you know, Bill got sixth man of the year when he was with the Celtics and they won the title. But don't feel bad for Bill, because as Bill said, he's the luckiest guy in the world. He survived. He went through an awful lot. All right, Paulie, this day in sports history.
1943, the NFL approved the merger between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't remember that too well.
Hmm.
And 1973, Gordie Howe left the NHL to join his sons, Mark and Marty Howe, in the WHA, the World Hockey Association.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad one and impactful. 1986, University of Maryland basketball star Len Bias died of a cocaine-induced seizure just a couple days after being drafted by the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
1999, the Dallas Stars won their first NHL Stanley Cup, defeated the Buffalo Sabres in the third overtime of Game 6. The game actually ended on June 20th, so this should have been done tomorrow.
It was on this day that the Chicago Bulls drafted two of the greatest athletes in the history of our world. Yeah, Paul.
Carl Lewis. Don't know the other.
Michael Jordan.
Okay, I couldn't remember the year.
Wow.
Yeah, still 1984. Michael Jordan and Carl Lewis was selected 208th overall. I don't know if they did a lot of homework on Carl Lewis because he didn't play basketball. And the way he threw a baseball, I don't think he could... He wasn't a two-sport star.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Todd, what did you learn today?
Chris Maddox believes the chance of Victor Wembanyama not being great in the NBA, 0.001.
Yeah, you're saying there's a chance. Seton O'Connor.
Chris Maddox, L.A. guy.
Marvin?
Khalees and Bill Murray might be dating.
Milkshake. Pauline?
Might be dating.
What We Learned, brought to you by Intelligence Running in the Family, Innovation Running in the Family, Extraordinary Running in the Family, Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. SUVs, every member waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, the all-around support. We'll try to be better tomorrow here. Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.